So we have a very special speaker today, guest speaker, with a life-changing message. And Jim, I'm going to ask you to come up. In a minute, we're going to have you go up to the high country, and that's something about the World Wide Web, I don't know. But I want to say something about Jim, because he is significant in this body. And some of you will say, well, I've never seen him before. But we have this leadership board that us as elders submit to, and we talk to, we get advice from, and Jim's one of the guys. So Bill Eddy and Jeremiah Johnson and Jim Stern. And we had met Jim, I think Justin and I went to one of these something fancy name leadership something at IHOP under during the time of One Thing. And so we're all in this room, and there were leaders from all over the world, really. And there's a few hundred leaders in there, and then Jim Stern's there, and of course, he's not sitting in the congregation like Justin and I. He's a big deal, so he's up there talking up front. And Justin being who Justin is, Justin, you know, met him and started talking to him. And we start finding out.
I'm Justin Fry.
I'm Justin Fry. I know everybody. I have no fear. And so at any rate, we found out he was in this church in St. Louis, and they had this vision of a praying church. And they had this prayer conference 7 years ago. So Al and Justin and I said, well, that fits us. That's our DNA. Let's go check it out. So we weren't really buddies yet, right? So we get out there, and in fact, we're introducing ourselves. And Justin's like, I run the prayer room in Pagosa Springs. And Al's like, I'm the pastor of the church. And Jim says, are you a pastor to me? I go, no, I'm school counselor. He goes, oh, you pastor the city. And that was life-changing. He doesn't know that, but in 7 years, that's like revitalized my thinking about what I do for a living. So the last 7 years, I've met 900 more kids and families with that in my head of like, no, I'm pastoring these guys. So it is life-changing. And that was the weekend that God confirmed strongly that Justin was going to be the next guy, our lead, you know, our teaching pastor, right? That was the weekend that was confirmed, Al. That was a big deal. Like, it really did tilt us on our head, that trip. And then we kept in touch with Jim. Justin really kept in touch with him. And then at some point, we said, would you join this kind of advisory board that we're putting together? And he said yes. So he shows up occasionally, and he meets with all these leadership guys in our church. So you come to Pagosa. This is tourist town, right? Like, this is where you come for a nice, relaxing vacation. So he comes out here, and then he has 1- and 2-hour meetings all day long, every day, and then we drive him to the airport. And this is his giving heart to us. I mean, for reals, this guy gives, and it almost seems like there's no end to it. And I just go, thank you. Jesus said he's willing, and he says yes, and he gives us such good insight. So I just wanted to really say how much we appreciate him, because you all don't know him. You don't get to hang out with him. But this guy is like gold to us. Like, he's a real deal, and we are so grateful for him. And so then I want you to say, oh, well, he's going to change our life today, because this is a life-changing message. And let's just be ready, right?
Yes.
So, Lord, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts and convinces, yes, and speaks to us. And we just stir up, and Jim Stern, Lord, what you have for us, Lord, the work you've been doing in Jim's life, his whole life, but in this new season, Lord, you are stirring new things, and we are grateful that we get to run with him. That is a gift to us, Lord. We've been saying thanks for a lot of things this morning, and so we continue to have this thankful heart for what you've given us through Jim, and we just ask for a blessing on him this morning. Bless his words, bless just that sense that he has, that he's communicating what you've given him, and open our hearts, Lord. We just say yes to you. We say yes to the Holy Spirit, what you want to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, and then we're going to pray for kids. I kind of forgot all that stuff. So let's pray for kids that are leaving and going next door. That's what Justin held a kid, and it was a great, great symbol. So if you're going next door, stand up. Y'all look for one of these kids that are around you. Reach towards them. Don't scare them, but reach out to them. If you want to lay your hands on them, that's great. Just don't scare them. Man, Lord, we love our kids, and we bless them, and we ask you, Lord, to give them a great day, a day of encounter, and a day of learning and a day of just learning more about you and just drawing closer. Bless the teachers. Encourage them, Lord. Strengthen the teachers. Give them grace for this day. Amen.
All right, how's everybody doing? I brought the wrong size Bible for this podium right here. This is fantastic, unbelievable. Well, look, it is great to be with you guys. I kind of told Justin, going, hey, man, I don't really know if I need to preach. I just think we need to sing a couple worship songs, bring Jerry up, let's all cry, celebrate, and then we're good to go for the day. I mean, how many of your heart's full just after what's happened? I got to hang out at Jerry's house for a couple hours yesterday with the elders, several of the leaders, and it was just such a privilege kind of just being around him and just experiencing what the Lord's doing in his life. But my name's Jim. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis is incredibly similar. Missouri is similar to Colorado. We just don't have mountains, and we have a lot of humidity. We don't smoke as much weed as you do. We smoke meth, okay? So we don't play games in Missouri. We just, seriously, I live in a county that's the number one meth-smoking county in the United States. Terribly depressing. You hear these comedians talk about, I need to switch, okay? Hear me now? There we go. I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, I know four or five people believe it's terrible. They've had family members whose trailers have caught on fire because of relatives cooking meth. Unbelievable. But I don't know why I brought that up. So a little bit about me is, if you look at me and I'm a little bit of an odd duck, it's because my dad was a missionary's kid, and he missed rock and roll in the 60s and 70s. And so I grew up with a dad that played smooth jazz my entire childhood. Complicated by the fact that I'm the oldest of 10 kids, okay? 7 boys, 3 girls. So I'm 42, my youngest brother is 19. My youngest brother and my oldest daughter graduated from high school the same year in the same class. So when I was sitting at the graduation, everybody thought I was my brother's dad, and I was sitting next to Grandpa, but that was his dad. Very odd. So no, my wife and I did not carry on the tradition of 10 children, but we do have 5. I grew up in a boy-dominated household. I mean, it was just guys everywhere. My mom had us clean the bathroom every single day. It was still a disgusting childhood. It just, boys everywhere. Somehow, my wife and I, we have 4 girls in a row, and the house has always smelled good. It's always been just nice and pretty calm and all that type of stuff. And then there's a surprise number 5 that comes along, and that's my son Maximus that shows up. And the house has gone downhill ever since. No, it's great. Yeah, Jessica and I have been married for 22 years and been in ministry just, you know, since we were 18, 19, 20 years old. My parents have been pastors, my grandparents even beyond that. And in many ways, I feel like a spiritual trust fund kid, meaning there's a lot that I have been given the opportunity to walk into that I didn't have to fight for in previous generations. Yes, I still have my own battles to fight, no doubt, but I've been given a tremendous opportunity because of what my parents and grandparents have done. But it has been great over the last several years getting connected to this house. And how many of you are glad that you're a part of this house, right? You're glad that God has connected you here. And, you know, what I want to do is I want to take some time and share my heart with you about what time I feel it is and what time I feel it is for you and for this house. And I'm going to talk to you about it's time to cross over. It's time for you to cross over. It's time for this house to cross over into something new. It's time for many of you in your marriage, in your personal life, in your business, whatever you're in. It's a moment where God's people are crossing over. And it's not something that you and I are going to do in our own strength and in our own genius ideas. It's something that God is going to make a way for, and we are going to say, yes, we will cross over. How do you know that you're in a crossing over moment? How do you know when you're there? The Bible makes it pretty simple. When you find yourself at a place in your life where you realize we can't stay here, you're in a crossing over moment. Have you ever hit that place in your life where you realize, I can't stay here. I can't keep doing it the way that I've been doing it. If our marriage is going to make it, we can't keep doing this like this. We can't stay here. You're in a crossing over moment. And what I know is that we are in a time in God's people where it is macro level shifts and changes that are happening. And it's not just because several of us had a little bit more time to ourselves in 2020 to contemplate our life. And we come into 2021 and go, let's do things a little different. There may be a little bit of that. But you look at some of the changes and the shifts and the repositionings and what God is doing with his people, this is way beyond our contemplation or our brilliant ideas. God is moving things. He is moving people. He is moving in you. He is opening doors. He is saying it is time for you to cross over into a new season and into something new. Now, it is not uncommon for people in the non-denominational space, spirit-filled space, to say, it's a new season, it's a new day, it's a new hour. Can I say amen? Amen. New day, new you, new... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that God is up to something that he's inviting you and me into, and you and I have all arrived at places in our life where we can't stay here and we have to cross over. Anybody say amen to that? We can't stay here. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't stay there. You can't stay there. The first time that I spoke this message earlier this year, I was at a church and I said, look at your neighbor and say, you can't stay here. And I thought, oh no, the pastor's going to kill me at the end of this message. I'm getting everybody out of church. No, that's not what I mean. But we're going to look at a couple of spots in Israel's journey where they arrived at a point where they couldn't stay where they were and they had to cross over. And the first one we're going to look at is when they left Egypt to go to a new place. The second one we're going to look at is when Israel had to cross over the Red Sea and into a new place. And the third one we're going to look at is when they had to cross over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan to follow the Lord. I want you to get your Bibles out and go to Exodus chapter 6. I'd love everybody to get it in front of them, get it on your phone, get something there. We're going to be there in just a moment, but just start getting there in your Bibles. But before there is a crossing over, there is a buildup of pressure. There's an accumulation of forces, an accumulation of pressure that happens. And again, it's some combination of what people are doing, what God is doing, and what Satan is doing. But there's a buildup, there's a pressure that begins to form. And it begins to reach the place in our life where we can't stay here. And the pressure... nobody likes. How many of you guys, when you get before God in your quiet time, you say, Lord, just increase the pressure? Of course not. It's like saying, Lord, give me more patience. Increase my ability to be patient. The Lord's like, that was a dumb prayer. Because you're about ready to be faced with things that are going to make you lose your mind. Right? But there's a buildup of pressure to where it accumulates little by little by little by little by little by little until you reach that tipping point. We can't stay here. And God goes, aha, it's time to cross over. The pressure is strategic in God's mind because it's actually preparing us to step into what God has promised for us. So pressure is the prelude to the promises of God. We love the promises of God, but we're going, Lord, can I enter into promise with no pressure? And the Lord says, no. So if you have pressure in your life right now, if there's an area where you are getting pushed on, I can tell you what it's a setup for. It is a setup for God moving you into a greater area of promise in your life. When we start feeling pressure, insecurity goes up in our heart. And we're just saying, oh God, what did I do wrong? What about this? What about that? And we just, insecurity, uncertainty, concern, all these different things just begin to come in the human heart. And the Lord's like, don't go there. Don't take credit for the pressure. The Lord says, I'm going to work all things out for your good and for my purposes. Just, it's going to build a little bit, but it is going to move you into my promises. Let's look at this first moment of crossing over, and this is where Israel crossed over out of the pressure of slavery. Exodus 6, verse 6 through 9. Say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I'll deliver you from slavery to them, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises. I'll give it to you as a possession. I'm the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they didn't listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and because of the harsh slavery. So here we see this dichotomy of God's people trapped in slavery. And the intensity of what Egypt had done had crushed their spirit, had crushed their faith. They saw no hope up ahead. They were literally a hopeless people, just trying to survive and trying to manage and trying to cope and trying to just deal with one day at a time. This describes every person's life before they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You are under a burden of sin. You are being crushed by Satan's yoke of oppression on your life. Sometimes we make light of what it is like before we met Jesus Christ. Folks, we were slaves to sin. Sin don't play games. Sin is a taskmaster. Sin owns you. And Satan has his hands on you. He has authority over your life. Sin has a governing power over your life. Death has authority over you. And your existence is coming up with coping mechanisms to make it another day. How many of you have lived that life? Oh, let me tell you, the first crossing over that every saint must experience is the crossing over out of slavery of sin and into the promises that we are known and loved by God. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Let me tell you, there are some in this room right now where Satan and sin has such a grip on you and your life is coming up with coping mechanisms to just make it. But I got good news for you today. Come on, somebody say good news. I got good news for you today. There is a way out of the slavery that you're in right now. There's a way out of that. You don't have to be bound forever. You don't have to be crushed forever. You don't have to be governed by death forever. Jesus Christ can set you free. So for you to have a crossover, you've got to have a Passover. And I'm not going to read the details of the verse, but you can read about it very clearly in Exodus chapter 12. This is where God's people, crushed by Satan, crushed by Egypt, in slavery, bound and filled with many afflictions, had lost all hope. And then the Lord, at the end of many, many things where he's pushing back the authority of Egypt, he calls every single man and every single household to put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost of his house, signifying what would be the blood of Jesus that covers us and washes all of our sin and has power over sickness and disease in our life. Let me tell you right now, there is such hope for you in the midst of your addiction. You may see no way out. You may see no way for it to change. But the blood of Jesus Christ can crush Satan underneath his feet. That was a great moment to agree with me right there, people. Come on, I'm trying to set you up to succeed here. Satan doesn't play games. Satan doesn't play games. One of the things I'm realizing about my life, and I'm realizing about the journey with the Lord, is that there can be seasons where we walk into Christ's freedom for our lives and we experience it. But Satan can stand at the door and still invite us back to places of oppression that we've previously been delivered from. He can invite us back in because there's sometimes where Egypt feels more comfortable than what's up ahead. Egypt and the sin that we were in, and even the distorted relationships, can feel more comfortable than the uncertainty of what lies up ahead. Saints, don't go back. Look at your neighbor and say, don't go back. We can't go back to where we've been. We've got to cross over into what God has for us. The second crossing over that we're going to look at shows up in Exodus 14. Turn with me if you could. Exodus chapter 14. We're going to make our way through a few pages here. And this is where Israel had been massively delivered from Egypt. And they were on their way into something new. And they came and they camped right by the Red Sea because the Lord had told them to. But they were about to experience the pressure of an adversary. And we see very quickly, Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 through 9, when the king of Egypt was told that the people of Israel had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants were changed towards the people, and they said, "What is this that we have done that we've let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot, took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and the other chariots of Egypt and the officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out to a new place. The Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and he overtook them that were encamped at the sea. This was that moment where God's people had just taken a big step. They were on the road to something new. And then Pharaoh says, "I'm going to come after you." Any of you ever bought something, and then about 2 hours later, you think to yourself, "Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have bought that." Have any of you decided to do something new, and you step into the new, and then immediately you start to second-guess yourself, maybe I wasn't supposed to do this, right? The word in psychology is called post-decisions dissonance. How many of you have had post-decision dissonance in your life? It's kind of like that moment where a mother and a father, the child has not been born. They're on the way to the hospital. There's an empty car seat in the back. The child is born at the hospital. Two go into the hospital, three come out, and you're driving away with someone in the car seat thinking to yourself, nobody's coming with us. Is this illegal? Right? And you would think after you've been to the hospital two, three, four, five times to have these children, that feeling would grow a little less severe, but it doesn't. Child number five,
They're not leaving anytime soon.
Right? Children are a blessing. I'm totally joking. Sort of. But it's that. Did we make a mistake? Did we do something wrong? And it's where there's an actual, it's a spirit of fear that rushes in like a flood to envision us of a worst case scenario that's coming up ahead. Did you know that fear is visionary? Fear has a prophetic type of nature to it, to where it causes you to actually see up ahead and see how terrible and horrible it could possibly be. Because fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is also a visionary that causes you to look up ahead and see what God could possibly do. Just as fear or faith is the very presence, the atmosphere of God, fear is the presence, it's the atmosphere of the demonic envisioning us of how terrible it could be down the road. Fear does not play. And when you take a step into something new, many times you will be faced with a moment where you have to cross over into something new and fear comes in and grips you like a flood. We're going to pray about this in just a moment. Because when I walked into church today, I had just a strong sense. There are several that have had a spirit of fear visit them in the night and envision them of terrible times ahead. Collisions in family, just collisions, and oh, this could go so bad for you. It just grabs you. Let me tell you, none of that is the Spirit of God. Can somebody say amen? None of that is the Spirit of God. What's going on in the text that we read is that God told Israel, go camp by the Red Sea. And then the circumstances aligned themselves to where Israel had only two choices. I've either got to go forward with God, or I've got to go back to my captors. But we can't stay here. Now, I have a question for you that's going to scare you a little bit about the leadership of Jesus. Did the Lord tell them to basically go camp in the place where they would get pinned in? Yes, he did. They fully obeyed God. They did exactly what God said. The Lord said, I'm going to get you into a place to where you can't stay. And you've either got to keep moving forward, you've got to cross over with me, or you've got to go back. Israel crossed into the unknown and kept following God. The last kind of crossing over we're going to look at is how Israel then crossed over out of the desert. Because they crossed over out of Egypt, and then they crossed over out of the Red Sea, across the Red Sea, and now they find themselves in the desert. And God uses the pressure of the desert, the dynamics of the desert, to bring things to the surface in our life that we didn't even know were there. How many of you know there's the things in your life that you know you need to deal with? But then there's things in your life that you didn't even know you needed to deal with until the Lord decided to say, it's time to let you know that you need to deal with this. He's so kind. He's so gentle. He understands timing. But deserts are what create the construct for things to come to the surface. And when you watch Israel making their way through the desert, one of the first things that God brought to the surface was the fact that Israel was a bunch of complainers. Complain, complain, complain. Gripe, gripe, gripe. Whine, whine, whine. The only complaint that I could find that was even close to legitimate was the complaint they had in Numbers chapter 11, where they were crying and saying, "Oh Lord, how we missed the onions and the garlic of Egypt." So how many of you know, if you had to cook with no onions and garlic, there'd be crying too in your house too. Right? You know, I did not see the dynamics of the pandemic coming. I find it amazing how God kept so quiet about how that storm was going to come across upon the whole earth. But the Lord did prepare his people for it. And in our church in St. Louis, it was the fall of 2019. And I was just saying, you know, Lord, whatever you want to, you know, speak about 2020, my ears are wide open. And I really didn't get much, except I just felt like the Lord was saying really clearly, 2020 is supposed to be a year of no complaining. So I was like, you know, that's good. There's going to be an election. People always gripe more during an election year. 2020, a year of no complaining. I like it. Bounced it off a buddy of mine in the office. Hey, I think 2020 is going to be a year of no complaining. I mean, that's a great idea. My God, couple of morons we were. I have never in my 20 years of church leadership beat a dead horse as much as I beat this dead horse. All of November 2019. Get your complaints out during the holidays because 2020 is coming, a year of no complaining every week, every Sunday. All through December. Keep your complaints going because January's coming, no complaining in 2020. We launch into the new year. It's a new year. No complaining. All of February, no complaining. And then March shows up, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, dear God. All there is to do is complain. So I just want to share with you from personal journey that I've been on with the Lord. I'm not sure there's anything that kills what God wants to do quicker than God's people griping and complaining. I'm not sure there's anything that just shuts down the peace of God in our life more than griping and complaining. And you know what's amazing? Is that the majority of people who call themselves followers of Jesus have no problem just griping real fast. Gripe, 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 gripe. Oh, I'm not a complainer. I'm just talking about politics. No, you're griping and complaining. Oh, I don't gripe and complain. I'm just talking about sports. Oh, I don't gripe and complain. I'm just talking about how I don't like the food. Oh, I'm not griping and complaining. I'm just griping about this and that and the other. And it's just constant. And when you look at what comes out of our mouth, let me tell you right now, we will wander in the desert forever if we cling to our complaining. God brought this to the surface. You can't cross over until you're done complaining. You got to hear this. You can't cross over until you're done griping. Your marriage can't move forward until you're done griping about your spouse. Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling the truth. You're lying to yourself, and everyone knows it. You're a complainer. Well, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling them what the Lord told me. No, you're a griper. The other thing that the Lord begins to expose in the desert that actually is a part of getting us ready to cross over is he begins to expose our lawlessness. We can't cross over when we're making up our own rules. When Israel got into the desert, oh, you just see the rule making, the lawlessness was everywhere. Exodus 32, Moses goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. God's people go, hey, let's make a golden calf. Let's make our own idol. Let's do our own thing. on and on and on and on and on. Israel's just making up their own laws, making up their own rules, making up their own everything. And then when God confronts them about their lawlessness, they go, it's that guy's fault. And they blame everyone. Folks, let me tell you this. We will not be able to cross over into what God has for us when we're griping and when we're pointing the finger at somebody else about how it's their fault. Your marriage can begin to move forward when you put your finger down. Your marriage can begin to move forward when you stop complaining about your spouse and you start calling out what God is doing in their life and start praising the good stuff that's going on. You're going to have difficult times with your kids, difficult times in church when it's this and when your lips run it. But Israel did cross over. Praise God. And you guys are going to cross over as well. As I begin to wrap up, I want to leave you with this thought. That when crossing overs happen, it is very common for the Lord to begin to rearrange leadership pieces and leadership roles like crazy. You got to think, there was leadership in God's people while they were in Egypt, in slavery. But God says, I'm going to put a new leader in, and his name's Moses. Moses had a mantle to help lead God's people in crossing over into some things, and the Lord said, but to cross over into the promised land, it's going to be Joshua's time because Joshua's going to take him over. When you look all throughout the Bible, you'll see even where God would raise up people for certain seasons and certain times to move forward. But whenever it was time for a crossover, God would begin to move the leadership pieces around. And I would bet that in your life and in your world, in your business, things going on around, God is moving people and moving pieces around into different positions. And it has to do with the fact that we're in a crossover moment. This is not a bad thing. This is a God thing. If you're being moved around and you're like, ugh, why am I getting moved around from here to there? It's because we're in a crossover moment. You're getting repositioned for the next season that God has in front of your life. And Jesus even modeled this. When he came to the end of his ministry, he said, guys, it's better for you that I go away. You need the Holy Spirit for you to cross over to the next season. And for us to cross over, gang, we're going to need the Holy Spirit. But the good news is this, is that our crossing over moments become milestones in our family's heritage and story and legacy in God. And you see this in Israel, in Joshua chapter 4, when they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, they put 12 stones down on the ground and said, let every generation from this time forward remember that God's people crossed over here and they crossed over now. I can give you the testimony from my own life. My grandparents, when they were young adults, got radically saved and had a call to missions. And in the late 40s, they took a boat over to Africa because commercial flights weren't flying yet. Praise God. And they took the boat. So that means they had to go all the way around South Africa and all the way up to Kenya. And there was no phone calls. There was no, hey, we'll fly back every 6 months. It was, we'll be back in 5 years. And my grandparents crossed over and followed God throughout those different seasons. Even when they came back from the mission field, they came back, planted a church in rural Illinois. Why would you go to rural Illinois when the only thing there is corn and soybeans and pesticides? Corn and soybeans, you know, and more pesticides. But they crossed over, they took the risk, they took the leap, they followed God, planted a church. That church becomes the context that my mom's whole family meets Jesus. My parents meet and marry, because when people meet Jesus, they meet good people, they fall in love, and they start having children, and then that's how I get here, right? And you go, these crossing over moments are critical for your life story and your family legacy. And I want to encourage you, If you are in a crossover moment where you know in an area of your life you can't stay there, you can't stay here, I'd say, yes, there's a lot at stake, but let me tell you, God is so with you in this moment. You don't have to do it by himself. There is just grace, grace, and more grace. Come on, somebody say it with me. Grace, grace, and more grace. I don't think you believe it yet. Say it. Grace, grace, and more grace for the crossover. Worship team, come on up. As we just begin to wrap, we're going to, not as we begin to, not that kind of, but as we begin to, I want to start by whoever in this room over the last several days has had a spirit of fear come and grab you. And you actually see collisions up ahead in your life. You see how bad it could go. That's not God. I want you to stand, if you could, be bold. It's a part of this spirit getting exposed so that we can experience the peace of God. I just like leaders, one or two of them, ministry team, whoever the right people are. We got a couple of folks. I think there's a few more, but if it's just these two, I'm okay with that as well. Let me tell you right now. The demonic assignment that was sent to grab you and envision you is going to be replaced by the spirit of faith. What you're seeing up ahead is not God. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now. You pour out grace, grace, and more grace. But I ask you right now for that spirit of fear that is just, for some it's been around for a little bit, but for some it's come quickly. It's come like a flood. And it's aggressive in nature. And it's the opposite of the spirit of God. Holy Spirit, right now we ask you, spirit of fear, be broken. Just, if you're a believer in this room, we need to pray as a spiritual family for just a moment. Some of you have dealt with a spirit of fear in the past. You know what it's like. It can just grip you to where it's just all you can see. You can't even see what God sees, even when you want to. But let me tell you, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come right now and break the spirit, the assignment. Break the assignment. For one person in this room, there's actually been an assignment. It's been witchcraft that's been sent against you. We break that off in Jesus' name. For another person, it's a past door. There's a temptation to go back to the fears that once gripped you. Let me tell you right now, you don't have to go back to where you came. You can keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Just know you're in a place in your life where in some capacity you can't stay where you are. You just know, I can't stay. It's a crossover moment for me. I want us to stand before God. I'm not going to have anybody come pray for you, but it's going to be us standing in the presence of God saying, it's time for me to cross over. Could you stand with me if that's you? It's a crossover moment. 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 It's a crossover time. The Lord's been arranging the pieces. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame anybody else. Because the Lord's been setting something up that's for your good and for his glory. He's going to get all the glory in the story. That's part of the reason why the cards have fallen where they may. Because you're not going to get the glory in the crossover. You're not going to get the attaboy in the crossover. It's all going to be praise to Jesus. It's all going to be praise to his name. Lord, we thank you right now that we are crossing over. We thank you, Lord, right now that it's a new season. It's a new time. There's new assignments being given. There's relocations that are being given. There's fresh moments that are being given. It's dispensations and outpouring of God's grace in such a fresh way. We are crossing over. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're coming even right now. And you're giving joy even while the pressure's still there. You're giving joy that we are crossing over. Oh, yes, Pharaoh's still chasing, but God is moving in an even greater way. Oh, Pharaoh might be on my back. Pharaoh might be in my rearview mirror, but God is making a way for me to cross that Red Sea. Oh, I might have been griping and complaining and blaming other people for why I am where I'm at. But Lord, we repent for our complaining right now. We repent, God, for our pointing of the finger and blaming other folks. We repent for creating our own rules, Lord, and not submitting ourselves to your mighty hand. And Lord, we cross over today into what you have. Lord, there's still things that are not fully unfolded yet. There's things that you're still bringing about. There's things that you're still opening up. And Lord, even though our natural eye doesn't see the fullness of the new season, oh God, we thank you that that is what you're declaring, and it's where our faith is put today. In Jesus' name. It's a crossover moment. It's a crossover moment. It's a crossover moment. It's a crossover moment. Lord, I thank you that ideas from past chapters, Lord, you're going to start bringing those ideas full circle. It's time for ideas that you spoke years ago to start to be implemented right now. It wasn't for that season, it's for this season. But you sowed the seed, you've been maturing the idea, and now's the time for the implementation. Lord, I pray right now, remind us of the things that you've spoken to us that we may have even forgotten, because right now it's a crossover moment. I've experienced this in my own life where God will drop a seed into our thinking. He'll speak to us in a moment. And then it seems to just go silent, and we'll even potentially forget about what God said. And then at a time down the road, that moment with God or that thing will start to float through our mind and our heart once again. Let me tell you, that is the Holy Spirit saying, you're in the hour for what I told you years ago to start to come about. And I believe even just the fact that Pastor Al is in the house today, he's just a witness as a longtime father in this house and in this city, giving the nod as a witness saying it's a crossover moment for this house. It's a crossover moment from this house. This house has crossed over before. This house is crossing over again. This cross has been at the place where it can't stay where it is before, and it's at the place where we can't stay where we are again. But we're crossing over together in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody said, God is good. Can we just give the Lord a big round of applause? I'm done. I don't know who needs to take the mic. Are you going to sing?
Can we just go ahead and sing You Made a Way? I think that exactly what Jim was saying, that he is making a way today. And a lot of the fear that we have in crossing over is fearing that if we do, that he won't make a way once we get there. And so if that's you, if you feel like there is something that you are crossing over into, and you need him to give you the hope that he'll make a way once you get there, because I think that's what the Israelites feared so much when Joshua crossed over, was what are we going to do? What are we going to do with the giants? When they left Egypt, what do you think that the Israelites were going to do? Where they were going to go to live? Where were they going to eat? And so let's just stand up and just sing that. does not lead you where he is not. And if he's leading you somewhere to cross over, it's because that's where he is. And that is the safest place for you to be. That is the greatest blessing, to be where he is. And so he makes a way for you to be in his presence.
Amen. How I want to close, I do think it's significant. Pastor Al is here today. Would you guys just have a you guys can stand, but Al, would you come up? Yeah, bring Sharon. It's great. Just listening to Jim talk about, you know, just thinking about the bigger picture. I really feel like that was a word of the Lord for a lot of people individually, but bigger picture, what stuck out to me about Jim is saying the Lord rearranges things and how he put us on this journey. This spring, you need to move into that fivefold expression. You change some things about how you're doing church leadership and that sort of thing. And then, you know, we got this. What is the Lord doing with Grace and with us and in this city in a bigger way? And I'm seeing all this. And what I'd like is just, we recognize the Lord is doing something. But would you just pray a blessing over this house and what the Lord is doing? Just in this, you know, grandfatherly authority in this house. Both you guys, if you would just pray over us for this season that we're in. And I think that's a great way to dismiss.
I'm going to pray with my eyes open because I just love to look into your faces. Yes, as a father of this house, yes, Sharon and I, parents in this house, it is so good to be home and to be welcomed home. Yes. And so, Father God, right now, I speak that blessing of crossing over, stepping into a new place, across the threshold, stepping out of what was into what is. I speak that blessing over you, the body of Christ, called restoration, fellowship. Yes, we are stepping out of what was familiar from yesterday into what is not so familiar, but is a step of faith. Believing and knowing that because it is of God, it will be accomplished. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And so right now, I speak concerning all of the new leadership, elders and others that have been placed into position of responsibility. You are stepping into that place where God has called you to minister. Bless you. I pray that all of the revelation of God come upon you in such a supernatural, powerful way that you will recognize that it is the holy nature and character of God that is functioning in each one of your lives in a supernatural way, and nothing is by mistake. I speak that blessing over you right now. The blessing of embracing a fresh day, a new day, the faithfulness of God.
Father, I thank you for your faithfulness over this body. I thank you for each one that you have called to be your own. And God, I know that when crossing over, it's not always easy. We don't know what it's going to look like, and fear can come in. But Father, I ask today that you would come with your baptism of love into each person's heart here today. Would you speak, Father, your true identity, how you see each one here today, that each one is your precious son, your precious daughter, And so as they cross over with confidence, knowing that you are there and you are with them. I thank you, Father, for your love, your goodness, that you have hold of their right hand in every place they go, because you don't call us where you don't go with us. And you don't call us to do something that you haven't already equipped them to do. So I bless them with that today, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.